to another message from one of our guest speakers at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
Well, last couple of days I hadn't been feeling really great and just had a little head cold, little chest cold, and just didn't feel like I was on my A game this morning. So I heard Keith Hall was in town, so I called him and said, "Keith, hey, is there any way, man, you could pinch hit for me in the morning?" And thankfully he said yes. If you don't know Keith, he was the youth pastor here for a long period of time. How many of you were in Keith's youth group? Anybody out there? There you go. Well, we provide free counseling for that era in your life. I told the first service, we're still cleaning up some of the messes that happened during his tenure. We had only been here a couple of months, and Kendra came up to me and she said, "Dad, Keith Hall showed me where all the snacks are in all the buildings." So thank you. Thank you, Keith. Keith and Alicia and their family, they left Generations after serving on staff and went to Ecuador, serving in the Amazon in one of the most remote locations you could ever see and experience. And after a couple of years in the Amazon, God called them to another challenging area, and they work in the Appalachian area, in the very impoverished areas of Tennessee and West Virginia. And they are missionaries, U.S. missionaries. We support them. And thankful to be a partner with them, and they are birthing the Smoky Mountain Dream Center. Keith's going to give you a little update on that this morning, but could you make welcome back home to the pulpit at Generations Church, Keith and Alicia Hall.
Good morning. How's everybody? You look good. Hey, what is it with these youth pastors with hair now? Somebody needs to tell him, though. He won't have it long. I had hair when I got here. Really, I did. Oh, man, it's great to be home. Great to be back. So many great memories. Here, not necessarily. We were gone before they actually finished this, right, Alicia? So, yeah, we, not necessarily this building, but the one that used to be here, facing a different direction and all that. So, but we are excited to be home. And I was actually thinking the first service before I got up that we came to Oak City, Assembly of God back then. We came 20 years ago. Actually, I said this month, but it was actually in January of 1999. Our family, we had a three-month-old, and that was it, right? Alicia, you can help me. Is that correct? Something like that. Okay. Anyways, no, he was about a year old, I guess, close to a year. But anyways, and now we have he's almost 21, be 21 at the end of this month. Caden, and then Bailey is 18. No, is she 18? Okay, well, said 19. Oh, Lord, help me. Anyways, but she's a freshman at UAB this year, and so they're all doing their own thing, and we're kind of doing ours. So that's kind of what happens eventually, right, parents? Eventually. But you never get rid of them, do you? Harry and Martha Cobb are saying no, you never get rid of them. If you didn't know, that's my mother-in-law and father-in-law. But anyways, we are so excited, always glad to be home with you guys, Pastor Brian said this just a second ago, but Alicia, can you stand up if you don't know who my beautiful wife is? This is Alicia. We will be married 25 years this coming May, so that's kind of an accomplishment. She deserves some kind of major award, kind of like on Christmas Story. Major award. Hopefully it's more than a lamp, but... But anyways, she is just an incredible lady, and I am so blessed that I can call her mine, and she can call me hers, right, baby? And Jehu mentioned that how many of you did a good job. I did a terrible job this Valentine's Day, so she might need some counseling, or I might need some afterwards. So, and you'll kind of understand a little bit why here in a little bit. But anyways, It is good to be home. Just wanted to give you a quick update on the Dream Center, Smoky Mountain Dream Center. Alicia and I both work with that. We have a couple of ministry partners as well, and things are going really well. I know you've heard through the years, you know, about buying land. I'm happy to say that we have enough funds in the bank. Currently, myself and the president of the Dream Center, we're going to be going out next week and purchasing land for our new youth camp. So we're excited. So hopefully some of you guys throughout the next several years will come up and help us run a camp for at-risk children, ministering to those kids and offering the hope of Jesus Christ. And so hopefully you will be a part of that. I know we have one that will be a part of that. Angie will be a part of that. So you guys pray for her. She needs lots of prayers because she's going to be working with me. So we know how that goes. So because he was speaking the truth earlier about cleaning up my mess and needing counseling after. And he asked this, but I couldn't see it because I was facing this direction. How many of you will raise your hand and say you were under the ministry of Alicia and myself at one time or the other? Stand to your feet if you are in here. And I think we have a couple in here. Is it just two, three, four? We got a couple. Yeah, there's a couple back there. So, yes. So if you make a kind of a note who that is and go pray for them after service. Now, if they're girls, they was wonderful because Alicia was their counselor and all that. If it was a guy, then sorry, it's you know, go pray for them. So I love each and every one of them. We have so many great memories here, and I'm so honored that we still keep in touch with them and they keep in touch with us. And they're like our own kids. They really are. And so it was just a wonderful 8 years here. So anyways, well, I want to dive into the Word this morning. When Pastor Brian called me last night, you know, I would like to have said that I just had something ready. And I was just ready to go. And can I just be honest with you? I mean, we're family. I was not ready. Okay, was not ready at that moment. They say be ready in season and out. I was out of season. When he asked me, but you know what, God's God, and he has been working in with me in something, and you know, God said when Brian called and he asked me to do it, and I said yes. God said, okay, here we go, let's do it, and let's talk about what things are going on in your life and what you've been feeling and going through, and you know what, maybe it'll minister to somebody else. So I pray this morning that what God has to say this morning. Not me. What God has to say this morning, you're going to hear and you're going to be open to it. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Job. Another thing, I didn't have glasses when I was youth pastor either. So, you know, that happens. I got to make sure I don't cover up the mic. I messed up the last time and covered up the antenna. Is this right? Just messing with you. Thank you, guys. How many of you ever are you familiar with, or you've actually in your Bible reading, you've actually studied the book of Job? Raise your hand real high for me. So a lot of you. I was thinking it was going to be a lot more than that, because if there's any times we're going through something in our life that we're really struggling with and we don't have the answer for, we a lot of times turn to Job. And so this morning I'm gonna speak to you out of Job, because there's everybody in this room, whether it's right now or whether it was last week or whatever, you're going through trials and tribulations, things that make sense, things that don't make sense, and we need some encouragement. We need and sometimes we say we need an answer. Well, I'm not necessarily here to give you an answer to any issue that you're going through. I'm not going to pretend to know that, but through this scripture and through what God has to say this morning, we're gonna offer each other encouragement through this. And it's really so cool when you come into a worship service this morning. I wasn't in the service, in the worship part, in the first service, second service I was, and it's just incredible how the Holy Spirit works and just kind of connects everything. If you noticed, and you all want to say, you kind of want to say the theme of what the worship was about, but it was really just the Holy Spirit's divine, you know, nature and putting it all together, talking about some of the things that we go through, and God's still God and all that kind of stuff. And so this morning we want to talk about that. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. And just to set the scene, Job was just an incredible man of integrity. He was blameless in God's eyes. He was just all these incredible things. He was just you know, if there was a, you know, obviously Jesus was the only person to ever walk the face of the earth, but Job was an incredible guy as well, and so he had all these incredible things, he had all these incredible blessings, and it tells us in Scripture, it says, and starting in verse 6, I'm going to skip down a little bit, it says, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? That the brethren of the heavenly court are coming in. Is that kind of like the board? The brethren. Anyway, so they're coming in and Satan is with them. Now, we're not going to come up with any jokes there, I promise you. Okay, so anyway, Satan comes in with these guys, with this heavenly court, these brethren. He comes in with them and it calls him what? What did I say it called him? Accuser. He's the accuser. How many of you think Satan has ever accused you of something? You think? Yeah, all of you, okay? He's seeking to destroy us, right? Seeking whom he may devour, okay? We know all that, okay? So he's the accuser here. And he says, and God says, where have you come from? Talking to Satan. Where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Okay, we know this. We know this enough that he's watching everything. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? It's kind of cool. Bragging on him a little bit. Hey, have you seen my servant Job? You know, have you noticed him? God likes to brag on us, I think. Hopefully he does. He's bragged about us a few times or another, okay? So have you noticed Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Now, that's pretty cool. If God said that about me, I would be overjoyed, okay? And I'm not saying he has or he hasn't, okay? But you know, he says this about Job. That's a pretty big deal when God says this stuff, okay? And he said, he always stays away from evil. And then Satan says this. Listen to what Satan says. Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So he's pretty much saying, you know what, Job's a pretty good guy. I agree with you. But you know what, that's because you've blessed him. That's because you've given him everything. Take it all away from him. Take it all away, and I guarantee you it won't happen anymore. He won't be that man that you brag about. He won't do that. So God gives him permission. He says, okay, do it, but don't harm him, okay? Catch that. Don't harm him, but you can take everything from him. And we look down in Scripture, and I'll read it in just a second, where God did that. This week, I want to jump to another subject real quick. This week, I had the opportunity to travel up to West Virginia to see my aunt. My aunt's 80 years old. She's the oldest of five siblings, an amazing lady. And I was called last week that she was going to be passing away. She has been on peritoneal dialysis for years and years and years. And she started to fall and really hurt herself. And so she had made the decision that she was going to come off of peritoneal dialysis and just, you know, let nature take its course, which, you know, obviously if you guys are familiar with that, you know, a diabetic in that stage and going through that, once they come off of peritoneal dialysis, it's just, you know, a matter of time. And so they were saying it could be anywhere from, you know, 5 to 20 days, something like that. And so they said, you know, just wanted to let you know what was going on. And I'd really just wanted to see her because she took care of my mother when my mother was dying of cancer back in 97. She nursed her through her sickness. She was there for our family. And we just couldn't have done it without her by any means. She's an LPN nurse, so she had experience, and just it was an incredible opportunity for us to have her, and she came and did that. And I just wanted to see her again. I see her about once every year, but I just wanted to say my goodbyes to her. And so I went up there and spent some time with her, and just we laughed, we cried, we shared lots of memories. I was able to just thank her just from the bottom of my heart, what she meant to me and what she meant to my family. And so we began talking, and God just continued to remind me of things that God had put her through in her life. She, as a young mother, she witnessed her 10-year-old son contract leukemia. And at the age of 12, he passed away with leukemia. So she nurses her 10-year-old son through 2 years of the battle with leukemia and watches him pass. And then a few years later, her husband just out of the blue leaves her. Found out that he had another family, a secret family, had another child, all this kind of stuff that just lived right down the road. So he leaves her and goes and lives with this other family. And so she goes through that abandonment, obviously, and just that deep hurt dealing with her son, now dealing with her husband, abandoning her. And then several years later, her mother contracts lung cancer. And she nurses her mother through a 2-year battle of lung cancer and watches her die. And then a couple years later, her next sister down contracts lung cancer. And you can kind of see a pattern here. And she gets lung cancer, and she nurses her through the battle of cancer until she passes. So far, we've got 3 deaths and a husband abandoned her. And then let's move on. A couple years later, she has another sister, my mother, that contracts lung cancer. And she nurses her through that battle, through about a 3 to 4 month severe battle with cancer that spread into her bones. I wish I could stop there and say that was it. But then we have a couple more years later, she nurses her father through sickness. It wasn't cancer, but she nurses her father through sickness. She was there by his side every step of the way and watches him pass away. A few years later, her daughter, her oldest daughter, contracts brain cancer. She drops everything that she has and quits her job and moves to North Carolina to nurse her through cancer. Can you imagine? I mean, we all have trials. We all have issues. We all go through sufferings. But I'm looking at this lady, and I'm thinking, how in the world is she still standing? And now I'm looking at her now in a hospital bed, and she's just waiting for God to take her. She's at peace, a peace that I've never seen. She's a very, unless she'll tell you, she's very high strung. She's always been nervous and just, you know, stressed out all the time. You know, if you go and have a conversation with her, you know, she gets worked up, nervous, and she'll pop a nitroglycerin. I'm being honest here. She'll pop a nitroglycerin. And I'm saying, Aunt Sue Ann, if I need to leave, you know, I can if I'm making you nervous or whatever. But she's just always been that. And I looked at her this week, and I see a lady completely at peace. Completely at peace. Because God has given her that peace. And so there's so many things in her life, and I look at her and I asked her, I said, you know, how? Because she is one of the most faithful women that you'll ever be around, is faithful to her God. When she was healthy, she wouldn't miss church. She'd bring people to church with her. She just was been the most faithful person I'd ever been around. No, I'm not saying she's a Job, because guess what? God never blessed her with riches. She's always lived paycheck to paycheck. Just getting along. God's never blessed her in that. And, you know, I don't, you know, now she's at her death's door, and God hasn't given her any more blessings as far as financial blessings. But she's faithful. She's remained faithful. And how does that happen? And let's look at Job. Because all of us in here today are battling things, or will battle things, or have battled things. You know, I would like to tell you that my family and I, since we answered the call of God, that everything's been rosy. was at the beginning. Good stuff. Blessed. You know what? I'll be honest with you. When I was here on staff at this church, man, you guys were awesome to us. Man, we had a blessed life. Things were awesome. You know, we had friends that loved us. I mean, we just, kids were small and doing everything we told them to do. And so things were great, man. We had a blessed life. Things were just awesome. I'm thinking, man, God, this serving you is awesome. Well, then you answer the call of God and you move away. You sell everything. You move to a foreign country. You then come back. You sell everything you have. You go to another foreign place here in the U.S. and things starting to unravel a little bit. I'm just going to be raw with you this morning. Is that okay? So don't think just because you serve God and you do all this stuff that things are going to be perfect. Just ask Job. Look at Job. But I can speak from my own life. You know what? Just because you're doing God's work doesn't mean things are going to work out. It just doesn't happen. And this is not sitting here telling you to feel sorry for anybody, because I'm saying this because we're in this together. We're in this together. Don't think that because a minister stands up here, whether they're a music minister or a senior pastor or a children's pastor, whoever, it doesn't matter. They're still struggling just like anybody else. And a lot of times we have to kind of look dignified, don't we, and act like we got it all together. But that's not always the case. So don't ever stop praying for your staff and your ministers. Don't stop. I don't care if it looks like we got it all together or not. Don't stop praying for them. Lift them up in your prayers. But guess what? We're all in it together. You're struggling. We're struggling. We live in a flawed, imperfect world, don't we? So we go through issues. We go through all kinds of stuff. So maybe you're in here today and it could be abuse. You could be going through extreme abuse sexually, verbally, whatever that looks like. Physically, abuse. You could be going through severe depression. Some of you are like, I'm not depressed. Wow. Depression is more rampant right now than any other time in human history. Depression is real. Whether it's financial heartache, things aren't going well. Maybe it's bankruptcy, whatever that is. Death, sickness. We could just talk about it all, couldn't we? We all go through sufferings. We go through trials. Nobody is immune to it. Nobody. At some point, we're going to face it. Sometimes it's one thing. We got time to catch our breath, don't we? And then move on. Things are going pretty good. And another thing. But then there are those moments in life where it just bam, 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 right? How many of you have experienced those? When it rains, it pours. Anybody? Got a couple of you. Man, just a couple of you. But let's look at Scripture, because this happened with Job, okay? Let's look at Scripture. Find my Scripture back again. Let's jump down just a little bit. And this says Job's first test. Job's first test here. One day the members... Well, let's move on past that. We already discussed that. One day Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house. A messenger arrived at Job's home with news. Your oxen were plowing with donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 16. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up all your sheep and all your shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 17, while he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept from the wilderness and hit the house from all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. So Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground in worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. We see it in Scripture, and we think, we kind of grow numb to it, don't we? Cool story. But imagine, it wasn't just one little thing. God, at that point, everything was removed from Job. Everything. Everything he owned, his kids. Everything was gone. Bam. It didn't even have time to breathe. Bam, 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 bam. Four times. Everything. And there's some of you in here that makes sense to you. You're like, man, I can't even catch my breath. And there's something else that hits me. You know, I've made the statement to Alicia before. And she said it too. If one more thing happens, I don't know. Will anybody be honest with you and tell me that you felt that before in your past? Anybody? One more thing. Job was probably saying, one more thing, God. If one more thing happens, what am I going to do? And it did. One more thing. But Job said, you know what? And we sing that song, right? You give and you take away. That's easy to sing, isn't it? I'm not going to sing, believe me. But you raise those hands and you belt it out. But when you're in the middle of it, it's not so easy anymore, is it? There's nobody else around you watching you. Nobody looking. Nobody's behind you in the pew behind you. You don't have to pretend anything and raise your hands. You're like, God, I don't know. What am I going to do? And Job was at that point probably. And then that wasn't it. Satan goes back to him, goes back to God. And this time they allow what? Harm, health. So he goes back and then all that happens. And you know what? Some of you have grown up in church like me, and some of you may not have, but you've heard everything. Because we try to explain. We're good at that, don't we? We try to explain why. We want to know why, and then we try to explain why on everything. And that's good, but you know what? Sometimes, guess what? Your minister doesn't have the answer. I may not be asked to speak again, but I'm just telling you, let's just be real. You can't always rely on the ministers in your church to have the answer. Because again, we're human, right? Because we've heard, okay, you're having those issues in life because you've done something wrong. You've done something wrong. You sinned against God. And that is true, and that is biblical. It is biblical. You can look back in Psalms when David went through his trials and his struggles and his desperation. He sinned against God, didn't he? And it was a form of judgment. And it wasn't only just a judgment of God, but it was a judgment of his own. A lot of that was because he was so ashamed, and he was, you know, in a lot of cases, and you hear, he probably was having a hard time forgiving himself. He was having a hard time getting past that because he had sinned against God. So that's biblical. That can happen. And you know in your own life, you know whether that's the case or not, folks, don't you? You're like, okay, yeah, I haven't been... Whoa, I've been really messing up. But you know, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have that redemption, you have that forgiveness, then that's not always the case, right? It's not because of that. Okay, then we learn that, okay, maybe God's teaching you something. We've heard that, haven't we? Maybe he's teaching you something through all of this. He's teaching you a lesson. He's wanting you to grow spiritually. Again, biblical, true, very true. There have been things in my life that God has taught me through trials, through stuff that I did that was stupid. Not necessarily a sin against him or anything, but it was just a bad choice. And God was teaching me something through that, a teachable moment. And there are lots of those teachable moments in life. And a lot of those, our struggles and our tribulations are because God is teaching us through something through that. So that's another thing we learn. And again, biblical and true. But then there are moments in our life where none of it makes sense. None of it it doesn't make sense. God, you know, you look at Job. Job wasn't doing anything wrong. Job was a mature man. He was full of integrity. He was blameless. God didn't need to really teach him anything at that moment. Those first two don't make any sense. And so Job goes the back and forth. And I'll challenge you to go home and read Job and watch the back and forth between Job and Job's friends and God. Check that out. It's an incredible story. There's about 30-something verses where God talks about some kind of crocodile deal or something. Some kind of creature, okay? And go check that out. But, you know, and so you're like, oh, what are you talking about? Go check it out. Anyways, but there's, it goes back and forth, because here's the cool thing. How many of you are thankful for your friends? Thankful for your friends. And Job has some really cool friends here. They hear about the struggles that he's going through, and they drop everything they have. I'm thankful for friends like that. They just drop everything they have, and they come, and they're at your side. And so they come, and they're there for Job. And you know what? They're just, it says part of Scripture, they just listen to him, and they hear him out, and they're going through all this. But then they decide they need to try to help. And they need to give counsel, and they need to give advice, and they need to tell him how to fix it. Guess what, people? We don't always need to hear that. And if I tell you something, if you're going through something, sometimes you can just tell me, Keith, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just listen to me. Just be here. Right? Just be here. Pray. Just pray for me. Just be here. You don't have to give me the answers. And Job's friends are trying to give him all the answers. And I'm sure that's probably causing a little bit more confusion in his life. And they're just trying to help. But guess what? That wasn't helping him. It wasn't, until he didn't receive any kind of answer or any kind of anything until it was just him and God. Just that relationship where he finally said, you know what? I'm dropping everything. I give up. It's just me and you, God. And it was that conversation back and forth with him. You know, I look at my aunt, and I asked her. I said, "Aunt Sue, how did you do this? How are you doing this?" And she said, "I just know God is faithful." And I'm looking at her, and I'll be honest with you. I'm like, "Well, you're at death's door, and you've battled all these things." She spent her last couple years in just loneliness. There wasn't a lot of friends that came around. There wasn't family that was always there. She lived by herself. She was completely alone. And I'm sitting here thinking, how? She said, God's faithful. And I'd make a choice to be faithful every day. It wasn't a feeling. We sang a song here. Don't live by what we see and how we feel. That is faith, right? That is the definition. And she said, I just chose faith. I chose to be faithful. I made that decision every single day. And no, I'm not going to necessarily experience his riches here on earth and his blessings, but I'm about to go somewhere where I'm about to receive those rewards, so to speak. I'm about to see my Jimmy. I'm about to see my Jennifer. I'm going to see my dad, my mom, your mom, my sisters. I'm about to see them. I'm about to be blessed beyond measure. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow. And then you kind of feel small in your issues, right? You're like, but we all struggle. We all go through it. I can sit here and say, you know, God, why? Why? I'm faithful. And you could say the same thing, but I'm seeing these things. But let me give you a word here. Because here's what it boiled down to at the beginning, and I mentioned this. Satan was saying, he only serves you, he only loves you, he's only faithful to you, he's only a man of integrity because of the blessings and what you're giving him. Take it all away, it's not going to be him, and he was, obviously. Let me read something to you. If we love God for any other reason than himself, that reason will fail us. If we love God for any other reason than being God, then those reasons will fail us. And I can look at men that I have known for years that during the crash in 2008, and your businesses suffered, and you went through extreme stress and depression, in desperation. You weren't loving God because of what he was doing. You were loving God because he was God. I've seen you go through so many people in here, friends, dear friends, lose spouses, lose so many close family members, go through extreme sickness. You didn't love God because of what he was giving or taking away. You love God because he was God. But there's somebody in this room right now that's in the middle. You're right in the middle of that season. You're right in the middle of that anguish, that suffering. Probably a lot of us. And I can sit up here. I would love to be able to sit up here and tell you that's me, or you know, that I've come on the other side of it, that I've got this incredible testimony. But I can't. I'm going to tell you right now that I'm in the middle of it. You may never heard a preacher or anybody tell you that while they're up here. Well, I'm telling you, we're in the middle of it. So I can relate to what some of you are going through. We have to experience God in a whole different way. I can't count on God for what his blessings are, because I'll be honest with you, I struggle with seeing them sometimes. And you're there too. And I say, God, I've learned my lesson. I've learned it, I promise. I've gone through, okay, God, did I do this? Did I ask for forgiveness for this? How many of you ever done that? Did I remember that, God? Did I, you know, it's not how it works, folks. But here's what Job learns, and here's what we learn today. Job discovered God in such a new and a fresh way. In Job 42, turn with me if you have your Bibles, turn Job 42. Job 42, verse 5 says this: I had only heard about you before. I had only heard about you before. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. Wow. I'd known about you, heard about you. But now, through this season in life, I know you more than I've ever known you. And I probably know you more than a lot of people know you. I've experienced you. I understand. Does that make it easier so many times? Not necessarily. But let me tell you something. I've learned a lot about God in the last 5 years. And I can't tell you that I haven't questioned. I haven't got angry at times. And you have too. But I know him. He's a different God to me right now than he's ever been in my life. It's a different relationship. And yet I'm in the middle of it. Guess what I'm going to choose to do? Get up every day and go to work and serve him. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you, there have been moments where I've wanted to go out the door and go another direction and say, hey, not anymore. Absolutely. There were times, and I can tell you, and this is a little trivial, but I can tell you in language school many years ago, and Alicia will tell you, hey, I went to the house, I threw my books away, and I got on the internet, and I was ready to go home because things were a little difficult. Now, that was something just because I was struggling in school, and I looked like a moron. That was it. That seemed like nothing at the time. It seems like nothing now, but it was that moment where I said, hey, I'm ready to go. But there are other moments that have been a lot more serious, and I thought, oh, my goodness. How many of you like the Southwestern commercials, plane? You just want to get away. Anybody ever felt like that? Spouses, you're like one. But we all struggle, don't we? Let's just be real. Let's take off the mask. Let's take it off, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But in those moments where we know God and we have to make a choice, it doesn't come down to how you're feeling or how spiritual somebody thinks you are or how spiritual you want somebody to think you are. You have to make a conscious choice. Get up, put your pants on, and get going. You have to make a conscious choice, even though you don't want to, because it's been like God hasn't heard you. You have to open up that Bible, and you have to keep reading, and you have to keep believing. You have to keep trusting. Right? Because sometimes when we're going through those trials, the last thing we want to do is pick up a Bible. The last thing we want to do is pray to God because He hadn't heard us before. Now, somebody was saying, Keith, what are you saying? You know what I'm saying because you've been there. And you might be there now. But we choose to say, I'm in this, God. You have chosen me. And I know that He has chosen so many of you in this room right now. So many of you. Chosen all of you. And you serve Him no matter what it looks like. Because you choose to say, I don't care the circumstance. Worship team, can you come? I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice to stand. Before the worship team starts, and guys, I don't know, can they hear me? Hello. So I'll wait till they get out here. The song that we sang, I think it was the second to last song that we did, Do It Again, I believe is the name of it. Can we kind of start kind of playing that a little bit? There was a part in this story that ministered to me, and it was really when it came down to his friends coming to the aid. I just want to say this to you, we're not in the church anymore. We're kind of on the outside looking in. But I want to tell you, as the family in here, the person sitting beside you and behind you, in front of you, you have no idea what they're going through. No clue. You may think you do, but you don't. So you need to check on your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to check on them, see how they're doing. Because you're family. That's what this body is right here, is a family. Don't wait till it's too late. they've given up hope. We're not here to try to pretend to be something else. We should be in a safe place, in a place where we can be real with one another. And truly lift your fellow brothers and sisters up in Christ every single day. Check on them. Find out what they're going through. And they may be going great. And that's wonderful. And maybe they can minister to you with what God has blessed them with at that moment. But sometimes it's not that. And you just need to pray with them and work with them through that together. So lift one another up. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. It may sound a little, cheesy or whatever, but I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I want you to, if you're next to somebody, just grab their hand. You don't have to go across the aisle if you don't want to, but just grab the hand of the person next to you. You never know if that person next to you needs physical touch in their life. I talked to my aunt, and she said, Keith, one thing that I've craved through the last many, many years is just physical touch. She wanted so much for her daughters just to climb up in the bed with her and put their arms around her. That's all she wanted. That's all she wanted. So you know what I did? Climbed up in the bed with her and put my arm around her. I just held her. You don't know who's going through something like that in here. They just need somebody's touch. So who knows if that, just that hand to know that somebody's there for them. So you don't know what we're battling. But here's all I know. I know that there's a God that we serve that is faithful. It may not look like it where you're at right now, but I promise you He is. He's the same God that was the God of Job. The same God. We find out later that Job received so many blessings, obviously. Everything was even better than it was before. But I look at my aunt, and that's not the case. She's going to experience her reward in heaven. But it's the same God. It's the same God and the same promise. So I promise you, just keep getting up. Just get up out of bed. Keep going. Keep serving God. Keep. Just, choose to remain faithful. But there's a song that just ministered to me earlier, and I'd heard it before. How many of you ever heard songs before, but then when you're in the middle of it, you like really hear it? You're like, wow, that's good stuff. This morning they sang the song, Do It Again. And here's what I want you to do this morning. I'm not trying to hype you up for anything at all, I promise. But I want you, they're going to go through it. I want you just to listen to the words. Just listen and let those words sink in. Just let them sink in. You don't have to sing. You don't have to lift your hands. I just want you to allow this song, the Holy Spirit, just to move into your life and just listen, okay? And then when they go through it a second time, I want you to either drop those hands next to you or whatever, and I want you to cry out to God, and I want you to sing this from your heart. And it, listen, I want to be honest with you. It may be a song of desperation. It may be a song that is, maybe you got a little anger coming out. It may be a song of confusion, of sadness, of depression. It may be a victory. I don't know what the song means to you. But I want you to be real with God this morning. Be open, be raw, be open to what God has for you this morning. Yeah, He knows what you're going through, but sometimes you need to express that, and you need to say, I don't care what's happening, I'm serving you, I'm remaining faithful. So worship team, if you can sing that with us this morning.
This concludes the message.